From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Amazon announced a new IRL in real life project this week. Along with the company's new growing list of brick-and-mortar bookstores, it's now opened a new space in its hometown of Seattle that offers what it's calling a, quote, just walk-out experience, one where you won't get nabbed for shoplifting as long as you're ready and willing to submit to the sensors and artificial intelligence with the help of an app, Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
Computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion aren't things you typically associate with grocery stores, but that was back in olden times.
You can bet that there are grocers that are quaking in their boots.
Sucharita Malpuru is a retail strategist at ShopTalk. She says if Amazon Go does take off, everyone will want to copy it. That being said, groceries are a unique challenge.
It has stubbornly stayed offline more than just about every other e-commerce category.
Amazon's solution is to make the experience friction-free. A virtual shopping cart that detects when items are taken off the shelf. Your credit card is then charged when you leave the store. But this isn't the first time tech companies have attempted to get rid of checkout lines. Ivan Hoffman is with ETC and Associates. He says IBM tried tagging items with radio frequency chips,
which proved to be too expensive because the tag itself is too costly.
Amazon is keeping the details of the technology a secret. The first store will debut to the public in Seattle early next year. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
While we are talking generally about artificial intelligence, this week Uber bought a company called Geometric Intelligence. So much intelligence. And Uber will need it all for its eventual fleet of self-driving vehicles, presumably. But unlike the usual AI self-driving car stuff that sucks in massive amounts of data to teach algorithms how to drive, this company is all about sparse data. And it's 15 employees that will work for Uber with a multidisciplinary approach to artificial intelligence. Gary Marcus is a co-founder of the startup. Gary, thanks for talking.
My pleasure.
All right. So people throw this phrase around a lot, multidisciplinary. What does it actually mean when we're talking about an approach to artificial intelligence? What does that look like?
You have to remember that artificial intelligence has its roots in natural intelligence. And if you think about natural intelligence, there's lots of things that go into it. So there's pattern recognition, there's vision, there's reasoning, there's language. To do something sophisticated like drive a car or what we might call general artificial intelligence, you really need to be able to draw on these different elements. And I think the best way forward in artificial intelligence is to bring all of these things together.
What does your company do?
We generate new algorithms. We're trying to do foundational research on problems like how do you generalize when you have a small amount of data in a particular domain. So all the talk these days is about big data, and of course Uber has big data, but you don't always have big data for every single thing that you might want to generalize to. The dominant technique called deep learning requires massive amounts of data, and it's not quite memorizing, but in some ways it's not a lot better than memorizing. And if you think about driving, you're always going to see new scenarios that you haven't seen before, new combinations of light, new combinations of vehicles. Maybe you have a vehicle painted in an unusual way, it's going in a direction you don't expect. At that point, you don't want to be relying on an algorithm that's basically looking, saying, have I seen this movie before? Because you haven't. And so you want systems that are coming closer to understanding the underlying rules of what's going on.
Gary Marcus, he's CEO and co-founder of Geometric Intelligence, which has just been acquired by Uber. Gary, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind. Can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. The internet and its information might want to be free, but the European Union continues to be skeptical of U.S. tech companies on a number of fronts, from data privacy for European country residents to what might be examples of anti-competitive practices in advertising. This week's example comes in the form of a reminder from the European Commission to a bunch of companies, Facebook, Twitter, Google, and Microsoft, that earlier this year, they agreed to curb hate speech on their platforms. Regulators are concerned tech firms aren't doing enough. Joining us for more is our friend Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder of the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Ben.
All right, so what is the EU doing here?
They are firing a shot across the bow, saying, don't forget us. You signed an agreement with us, and we're worried that you are not quite living up to it.
Is it possible that EU regulators are kind of right about this, that tech companies really need to actually establish a policy or policies around speech like this and police it themselves?
I think there is a growing recognition that there is a problem with harassment online, which is a different issue from hate speech. It'll be the EFF who will point out.
EFF as in Electronic Frontier Foundation.
That it's almost too casual a remedy here, but it's not involving the courts of those states in adjudicating. It's really asking these companies to take on roles that are far beyond certainly the kind of platform role that Mark Zuckerberg says. We're not editors. We're just a technology company.
What do you think they should do?
My own thought is it might be good for those companies to really live up to what they say, oh, we're just platforms. If that's the case, then, for example, I ought to be able to write my own way of asking what should fill my feed and from where of all the different candidates. And that, in some ways, would take the companies architecturally out of this kind of apex position where they just write one trade secret proprietary recipe that says this is how we will channel the flow of information. When you do that, you start to look, especially I think to the European regulators, a lot more like some big American news company that everybody reads and subscribes to the expense of everything else.
Jonathan Zittrain, law professor at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society, also the co-founder. Professor Zittrain, nice to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.